And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEA Beautiful Studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. Okay, today's special day is my grandson and granddaughter's birthday. Both is today. My granddaughter, for her first birthday, she got a baby brother. So it was interesting. And, you know, grandpa's like this because, you know, only one birthday I got to remember. So that's good. That's good. That's good. That's my granddaughter. And then her name is Kaylee Rose. And she's 3 years old today. And her little brother is Corsair. Now, what's interesting about that, that name comes from his dad, which is named Corsair, which complained about his name, his pretty much whole childhood, because nobody else has that name, and then he names his son that, so he's not allowed to complain anymore. So it's they've been, you know, what this whole thing has been about. Because, you know, when Donna and I first got married, even before we got married, we had already decided that, you know what, we want to have, you know, two boys, two girls, ease in and out of high school and college, and start making grandbabies. They were, it was very clear. Oh, and we just had another grandchild. It's been 2 weeks. You know, her birthday? August 5th. Oh, yeah. That was another easy one to remember because that's our anniversary. I forgot that. See, it's still hard. Okay, so we have our 28th anniversary we just had. Yes, I got it right. 28th anniversary. On our 28th anniversary, we were going to go, you know, hang out and do a, you know, hotel thing by the hospital in case, and we didn't have to, or didn't get to. And so we had, I'm going to get my crap beat out of me. And our granddaughter's name is Tatum Jeanette. Yeah, I knew that. I was testing her. Tatum Jeanette. And so she's on August 11th on our anniversary. And then Kaylee Rose, which looks a lot like her mother's mother. I mean, you know, she just passed away from diabetes when she was just over a year old. And maybe 2 years old. And she remembers Nana. And you know, so it's, you know, it's been great. You know, they're good parents. They get along fine. My oldest daughter and her husband, Tim, Rhea and Tim, have Elon. And Elon is, I'm going, where is that name? Because he's Swedish descent. And it's, you know, a sweet, common Swedish name. His sister's name is Britta. And so it's just, you know, unusual. It's Tiger Woods' ex-wife's name is Elon. You know, that's the only other Elon that I know. So this is, a special happy birthday to you, Kaylee, and Corsair, which they call him Buddy. You know, he's going, hey, bud, you know, buddy, buddy, buddy. They call him Buddy all the time. I always call him Corsair. I want the kid to at least know what his name is. And, you know, the thing is that my sister, I have two sisters, younger sisters, one a year younger and one 2 or 3 years younger. And my younger sister, I called her sister. Hey, sister, sister this, sister that, sister. And, you know, my grandmother started calling, you know, call her Sherilyn. My name's not Sherilyn, it's sister. Then, you know, so that's how she didn't know her name. So I just figured, you know, of course I should know his name. So this is, you know, kind of the motivation for a lot of what we do and why, you know, we're like, we could move to where, probably nowhere, because that's our grandkids aren't there. I mean, you know, we're, you know, that's one reason why we did this trip around the country this summer, was so that we could, you know, man, it'd have to be some really charming something going on that we would move. And, you know, Arizona doesn't suck. So, I mean, Arizona doesn't suck. For a lot of reasons, Arizona doesn't suck. And so I one of the big things, you know, aside from, you know, climate and not being cold and all that kind of stuff, is that the dryness. I'm telling you, man. I lived in Florida. My father's from Florida. My whole side, I grew up there until I was like 12. Born in 61. 72, 73, we moved to Arizona. I was in sixth grade. And I remember everybody said, oh, it's so humid. They're humid. They're humid. You kid, you don't know the difference, you know, until I went back when I was like 15 and a half. And I go, damn, man, I know what they're talking about now. So this is, you know, we have a pretty decent life. So we're going to go ahead and try and maintain it. And in the future, you know, all of us have our own, you know, I don't know, what's your standard of happiness, you know, pursuit of I hope you get to pursue your happiness, left unmolested by the man. But the man, he's always being the man. So I'm just, you know, whoa. And they come up against, and I started to look at, revolutions. That was one thing I was kind of interested in. And I'm going, you know, how does this go? You know, when does this happen? What is the, you know, what's the trigger? Where's the, you know, and I started to realize, I go, wow, they're always backed by grandfathers because they can't go anywhere. They're up against the wall. They're done. You know, heels in, man. And it's always been kind of the wisdom and the, and I guess the, well, a lot of times it's resources too, you know, of the older generation that is embracing, you know, the change. And you always think it's the youth, you know, but if you look at all of these, try and make it out, oh, it's the youth this, it's generation next, yada, 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 yada. Well, it is, you know, that's, you know, that's the backbone, you know, that's the, that's the manpower. You know, that's where the UGG comes from. But I tell you, you know, it's always with the guidance or the resources or something of something else. And a lot of times it's a special interest. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, we, you know, save the rainforest or whatever the heck it is, an excuse that they put up to do whatever. But when it comes to the real resistance against the tyranny of, you know, not always the young guys. You know, it's like in Patriot. You know, it's like in the American Revolution, you know, Benjamin Martin is the people are going, oh, man, you just game on, you know, seriously. So I understood what was coming. So I was able to ease into it earlier on at a peaceful level. My goal in the early 90s, by the time I got to see what was what, my goal was just to, you know, warn people what was coming, doing the town crier thing. Hey, look, man, I see the seeds of. This is going to get bad. No, you can't. We're at the peak of NICOM. We rule and we kick ass and American exceptionalism. And why did you think America was so exceptional? And what evidence did you have that, you know, God done blessed us, you know, grace on thee? Why? 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 Freedom. Leave me aloneism. Pursuit of happiness. Protection of life and liberty. You know, the further you get away from that, the darker it gets. Well, here's to you, Kaylee and Corsair. Happy birthday. And your new baby sister, Tatum. We got on our anniversary. Pepsi, I remember. I will lock that in.
This year, you can experience a taste of Libertopia. Libertopia is a voluntary community based on freedom and peace. Visit the three-day festival this October 11th to 14th at Humphrey's Half Moon Inn on the San Diego Bay. With speakers, workshops, parties, and wonderful people, Libertopia has it all. Become a member of this peaceful voluntary community now. Visit libertopia.org. Tickets and hotel rooms are going quickly, so make sure to reserve yours today. Find out more at libertopia.org.
You can connect with the Liberty Radio Network via our Facebook page at facebook.lrn.fm. That's facebook.lrn.fm.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
New roads. Nope. Well, yeah, maybe some. You know, but you know, on you might not need them. On the front of Freedom's Phoenix, they got a hover car. Na-na-na. The hover car. You know, one thing that, you know, people, you know, Donna and I actually discuss it, you know, and she goes, well, you know, do we put pictures up on the internet of the grandkids? And you get, and I go, where'd you get the picture? She goes, Facebook. So I'm like, you know, whatever, you know, it's just, you know, no fear. I mean, you don't want to be stupid, but, you know, if their parents are putting, plastering them all over Facebook, you know, I guess, well, they're on Facebook. So, it's, whatever, Facebook. You know, it's one thing, as our kids are growing up, you know, I recognized it immediately. You know, why do you think about this. Rupert Murdoch, News Corp, Fox News, you know, Mr. I hack in the phone calls kind of guy. He buys up MySpace for $380 million or something. It was some stupid $350 to $80 million. It was some stupid number. And I'm like, why? You know what? You know, there's going to be some fad right past after. And it went, you know, nobody wanted to do it right after he bought it anyway, you know, and it went to Facebook. But, you know, why would he do that? It was the database. You know, all those emails and all that information and people's favorite color. And I mean, wow, what a treasure trove of, you know, look at this picture of the drunken party when I was a sophomore in high school making out with the girl next door, and I'm a girl. I mean, you know, this. I mean, nothing's off limits. I'd see some of the stupidest stuff. I go to the kids, I go, seriously? I mean, you guys, seriously? You're not this stupid, right? I mean, you know, this is going to be, you think potential employers and colleges and whatever aren't going to be looking for this kind of stuff? I go, let me tell you what this is. This is your public mask. I go, whatever you want to portray to the public, you know, you can seed this with all kinds of, you know, and, you know, choir boy pictures of De La whatever. And they, you know, they wanted to seed it with whatever they wanted to seed it with. But at least they were aware that, you know, don't be stupid. You know, it's not Girls Gone Wild on, you know, Spring Break, De La, look how stupid I am. You know, so they were pretty good about it. But it wasn't from, I hopefully they were smart enough, but I definitely made sure that they understood. You know, I'm going, look, man, it could be, you know, 5 seconds so you push the wrong button and you're screwed for the rest of your life. Now, this is just ask, you know, like here in, okay, I got to tell you the story. It's good. It was, there's a website called, or it was, dirty.com or something like that. Well, who ran it and made a big deal of it before he ran for Congress was Dan Quayle's son, Ben Quayle. Ben Quayle is, I think he even became a congressman, a couple, you know, who cares? I don't pay attention to these guys, but he's running again. Yeah, I think he's an incumbent and he's going after who, I don't care. But I remember the big hoopla, and right now they got television commercials on. Oh, and he did this. Oh, he's embarrassed us too much. Oh, negative campaign. He had this, you know, dirty website called Dirty. And I'm just, oh, you know, the mail out not to care. I mean, just I just don't care. I'm so sick of this stuff. Well, let me go tell you what is going to be on the show today. Here we go. I do have a show. Okay, Rick Randers on. You know, I can't even this. Let me go ahead and get my old man glasses on. Okay, Rick Reinerson. Rick Reinerson has spy car. Now, this is why I thought it was Austin. Donna says he's in somewhere, but I think he's in Austin is what I thought. We'll go ahead and find out. VeteransAgainstPoliceAbuse.org. And what happened was he, I'm pretty sure it was Austin, and he had a bad experience with an unscrupulous law enforcement peace officer. And just, you know what they always do. They do what they always do. They lie. You know, he did and said and whatever, and I was justified in, and yeah, and sucks to be you, and I got a badge. Well, it pissed him off. I mean, oh, sometimes you just piss off the wrong guy. So he spends tens of thousands of dollars just blanketing his car with surveillance cameras and audio that not only records everything, video and audio, but has two uplinks to stream it live. And it goes on loop tape, kind of doing however many hours we're going to find out. And he just, and it's got all kinds of goodies in there. I mean, the electronics, he's like, oh, and bulletproof. He goes, you know what? Bulletproof. Well, resistant, whatever. So he decided to do this because he just goes, wow, they're that bad. Did seriously? You know, so he took a little black sports car. I don't know, Mitsubishi Eclipse or something like that. It was a little something. We'll find out. And we had the video up. It's up on the archive site today and everything, right? So it's up there. You can go look at it on Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. And you go to today's show, which is my grandchildren's birthday. It's August 21st. That's what grandma's for. You remember, like, dates and names and stuff. Tatum. I just called, the baby. You know, I don't even use the name yet until they, I don't know when I got to remember this stuff. But it's probably when they're born. So Tatum Jeanette. So this is, which is a pretty name. So what we're going to do on our grandchild's simultaneous birthday is we're going to have on spy car. Because, not in a negative way. It's a positive thing, man. It's always with the positive waves because they're doing something about it. I think he has the attitude. I saw the video. It's, it's like, yeah, you got to do something. And it's for his protection and that of the officer. So I've been through a lot of cases to where, the ones that make all the news are the ones that got recorded. Now, it's always some report. There was, I think it was Maryland or something. There was a basketball game they won. The students were out celebrating, running around. This one guy is just skipping down the sidewalk. Da, 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 da. All of a sudden, boom, he comes up to a mounted police officer on a horse, and he stops. And then all of a sudden, blindsided from the side, they just check him into the wall. Like it was a hockey game or something. It's out of the blue. Here comes these couple of cops, and they in riot gear and helmets and batons and everything, bam, up against the wall. Now, that'll learn you to, stand there. I mean, I was like, what the heck was that about? Now, of course, they said, oh, he did this. He assaulted the horse. He blah, 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 blah. Well, what they didn't know, there was a guy with his camera phone or video or whatever from his dorm room or apartment, on the second, third floor overlooking the street, got the whole thing. Then what? Only then do they kind of, wrist slap or fire or suspend or something happens or civil suit or whatever. But, how many times does that go on and it wasn't recorded? We're going to find out a lot about that. It's VeteransAgainstPoliceAbuse.org. And then in the third hour, Marion Williamson on Women in Politics.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
back to Declare Your Independence. Hello. All right. Third hour. Let me tell you what's going on. I think I know who this is. Marianne Williamson. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure I had a meeting with her. And I think it was at a meeting along with Alan Corwin, and which is the gun guy. And I'm author of a lot of books. And I'm going, this is what happens. Ernie, how do you get all these guests? Well, a lot of times, over the years, I just, I have their, bathroom wall phone, number, and their cell number, and their home number, and their work number, and their publisher's number, and, whatever. As time goes on, you do this over years, and you have contacts and relationships, and they write for the whatever. So it's a lot easier, but as time goes on, you branch out, you keep open, you're adding to. We have a lot of new people. Whenever I'm going, it's a slow week, I have nothing else to do, I go, Donna, let's go ahead and cover these subjects, get an update on. And I go, get this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy, and this guy. Or we can go on to Freedom's Phoenix, up to right below the bird logo, the Phoenix, on the top left of the corner, and it says radio, magazine, TV, or video. You go in there into the radio show, and you can go all the shows by guest or by topic. So if I just click on economy or economists that we have as keywords and so on, boom, big long list of all these guys. I go, it's time to get this guy, time to get that guy. One I've been thinking of, I wanted to tell you, Mish Shedlock. Go ahead and see if Mish can come on. I want to talk to him a little bit. Just send him a quick email. And there's some stuff I want to talk to him about. And, and Bob Proctor, go ahead and him too. So I'm just, every now and then I'll come across, there's certain things I want to know more about, get an update on. It'll be 6 months, a year, and I go, it's time for that guy. Well, where I get a lot of this stuff is, sometimes you are subscribed to a lot of different services. They'll send you all you need to, and some of them are, God, man, when it gets into election time, it's not about informing you. It's about manipulating you, and, it's just so partisan. And I'm like, next. I don't even look open them anymore because it's so bad. And on the Republican side, it's all this Paul Ryan thing. And I'm like, it's so bad that if you get them up and you start asking them questions about certain things, I mean, it's like entertainment. I mean, it's just to beat them up in public. It's just it's almost like you got to warn them. Because, the Paul Ryan thing, they'll go, he's trying to tell him how, Ayn Randian objective as libertarian he is. Well, there's all kinds of stuff of him denouncing it and too atheist and, oh my goodness, and that I would never, and heaven forbid, and I'm so McClempt to discuss, whatever. And I just go, it's just be mean. So, next, same on the left. Oh, it's for the children. Really? What about this, 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 and this? And, oh, yeah, they're bombing people. And so, and then it comes down to any politician that wants to, especially if they're incumbents, I'm going, Patriot Act. You voted for Patriot Act. Yeah, but I did Patriot Act. I mean, seriously, we got to have this discussion. You're disqualified Patriot Act. So sometimes there are other publicists that I deal with. One of them's Eileen Proctor. She's out of Beverly Hills. And she's, got anybody in media, all the talk show hosts, she's, doing the Hollywood thing. And, I get all kinds of wide range of requests from her for people to come on. Well, I want to do this because I go, I think I know who this is. And what she's a touchy-feely, crystal, positive wave kind of something. But she's an author, and she's really advocating that the government have a Department of Peace. Now, the United States Department of Peace, now, if the United States had a Department of Peace, well, then we'd have peace. No, not the State Department, not the War Department, that later became the Defense Department. Whatever it is, it's always opposite. If it's the War Department, it's kind of like keeping it more at peace. As soon as they called it the Defense Department, well, you knew we're going to war. I mean, it's just... Anyway, they did that change after World War II, I think. So this is, we're going to talk about the United States Department of Peace. Now, what she has done is, it's interesting how she's done. She's gone around over the years And she'll find, you know, leaders in the community, people that are politicians, people that are influential in the media and, you know, activists and so on like that. And she makes an effort to go and spend time with them. And her whole thing has been to advocate for the government have a Department of Peace. I liked her. I think that, you know, she's actually, I think I remember a conversation. She's going in and giving presentations in the CIA and all this other. I mean, they're just latching. Oh, yeah, Department of Peace, sign me up. It's like going talking to a Congress. Oh, absolutely. I'm, you know, introduce a bill, put me on co-sponsor of the bill and be a bill and we can have a department. You know, I'm just, ooh, another department? Of course we can do, you know, it's just, so we've had this conversation and her thing is that she's really pushing for women being in office or more influence. She believes the perspective of women, we would be less, you know, except for Hillary Clinton, we would be less, you know, well, maybe Madeleine Albright, that we, or Condoleezza Rice, or we would be more motherly and, you know, less war advocating out there, Janet Napolitano. So I'm just going, you know, you see what I mean? I mean, how many examples you got to bring up of the other side? Is that nurturing atmosphere kind of what would save us? I'm willing to try anything or talk about it, but I'm telling you, man, I'm just, it's, I don't think it's a gender thing. Yeah, I think it's a humanity thing. But, you know, since I do believe she's sincere, you know, we'll go ahead and talk about it and we'll be nice to her. So I just want, you know, we're going to be nice, you know, positive ways. But I will give her an opportunity to talk about, you know, yeah, a government department, seriously. You know, how about you just support Lovolution. Let's do that. You know, and you don't need a department. All right. So I'll be nice. Now, you know, I'm really looking forward to Rick Rynearson on the spy car, though. That's going to be cool. All right, let me tell you what happened yesterday. I'll give you an update on the battery project thing. When we come back, you know, maybe I'll show you some pictures and get you, you know, kind of up to speed on this. I imagine you don't know anything about anything or a particular subject. You want, you know what? I'm not going to wait on the man anymore. I'm tired of some guy in the lab coat saying what you can and can't do, and this can't be that hard. Oh, my goodness. That they, 100 years ago, you know, they can figure this out with the technology that they had then, the raw material and kind of, you know, whatever, and we're progressing, and now and it, all of a sudden all we know is it went to DARPA. You know, as soon as it gets to a certain point, it goes to DARPA, you know, the Defense Department's research facility, and you never hear about it anymore. And they just, because I remember what Eisenhower said. It wasn't the military-industrial complex. It was a scientific technological elite that was behind it. And I'm going, everybody keeps focusing on the military-industrial complex. Beware of the military-industrial complex. Well, if you read the speech or watch it or anything, that was just a side effect of the technological scientific elite. That was all technology. That was all they could see. Man, we're learning the, ooh, think about it. You know, in the 40s, atom bomb, followed by the hydrogen bomb. Then they started, you know, understanding electricity a little bit more. Then they're doing electromagnetic laser, Flash Gordon, De La, whatever funky stuff. So, Lord knows what they're doing. I'll give you an example. If you go in Freedom's Phoenix and do a search, hell, you can probably just do it on a Google search. And what I did is, let's go ahead and do that. Then you go anti-gravity Freedom's Phoenix. If you do that, I'll bet you this article comes up that I wrote a long time. The secret to true anti-gravity reveal. Oh. I'll go over that and why it played such a role in us taking on this battery project, the energy thing. It'll be interesting. Now, if you got a computer, go look for anti-gravity.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com, constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government, the real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy,
health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda. But now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened. Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free. I want to break free from your lies. You're so self-satisfied. I don't need you. I've got to break free.
Yeah, I got to break free. All right, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you kind of the reason why I'm so confident to do this stuff, because it's just because nobody else will. You know, it's just I don't trust the man to have my interest at heart. That's just not going to happen. All right. Now, let's go ahead and look at this. If you put in anti-gravity Freedom's Phoenix up here, you have two of them, that the top two that come up. It says, the secret to true anti-gravity revealed, and that's discussion page. I don't know why that comes up. That's just somebody made a comment, and it gets a lot of... That's the second one, where it says show graphic, and, you know, it's whatever. So I go there, and there it is, all right? This article... God, when did I write this? This is 2008, so what is it, 4 years ago? So it's 11-2-2008. Now, it goes on and on and on and on and on, and it starts off... The first thing that I noticed here, it goes, this first part, let me go ahead and expand this so you can see it a little better. The first thing that I reference here, this was first posted in 2008, and anti-gravity was here, and then it was gone. Very interesting video embedded below, blah, blah, blah. Now, this is what got me going. In 1999, there was an article in Popular Mechanics. And I put up here, since I first posted this 2008, the link has been removed. But a hard copy is certain to be out there. Here is another link that gives you the main info. Now, what happened was, I remember, you have to go, I've done this before. You can go to the library, and they have back copies of every magazine and newspaper and everything. Then you get the actual hard copy. Getting them up on the internet, they first did this. Popular Mechanics and Popular Science, people would take and they just put PDF, they had archives up. Then the company themselves would do it, or they'd take it from them, or they'd sue them, or whatever. And sooner or later, I mean, it makes it to the internet. And, you know, this takes time. And, you know, and certainly if they don't want it there. And it's, you think it's easier than it is. Go look. You know, see if you can find a 1999 issue of Popular Mechanics of whatever. Let's take a click here and see what's up. Goes to Popular Mechanics, Science, see, we got archive. Sorry, we cannot find the page you are looking for. Okay, well, it used to be there. So it's the 1999 article, and I can't remember which month. I didn't put it up here. And here I can go to another link, abovetopsecret.com, and see if they do it. And this is what they say about it. I am posting this because it seems to coincide with many of the aims of the Pegasus Group. Mr. Leard wants to say, moved. I was fortunate to, yada, yada, yada. And they go into parts of the article. Let me tell you what it was about. While an operational device is at least 5 years in the future, developers of what can be loosely termed a force field machine say it has cleared major theoretical hurdles. To demonstrate their claim, they invited Popular Mechanics to visit their Huntsville, Alabama laboratory to see the most important component of their proof-of-concept demonstrator. It is a 12-inch diameter high-temperature superconducting disc. When the force field machine is complete, a bowling ball placed anywhere above this disc, which resembles a clutch plate, will stay exactly where you left it. Okay. Lee says, now this is the scientist that did it, and it was a Chinese woman, I believe, or Chinese descent. I was particularly hopeful after reading this article, as the good doctor was quoted as saying, Lee says she has turned down several offers for financial backing. It is less about money than control. Investors want control over the technology, she says. This is too important. It should belong to all the American people. And then she went away. This is what this has been a trend in every single thing that's of this caliber. What happened was, I didn't have this on so you can see it. Let me go ahead and go back to here. And boom, there it is. Above Top Secret, topsecret.com, anti-gravity, you go into anti-gravity in the search for Dr. Ning Li. Now, this is what happened. Dr. Ning Li was Huntsville, Alabama. I think it was University of whatever, it doesn't matter. She created the ability to anti-gravity, to levitate things, some kind of gravity field, daylight, whatever. And this is how the story went. Oh, it's impractical. Oh, it takes so much energy to do this one little thing that, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. It's not that big a deal. And I'm going, that's like saying, I remember a line in JFK, Oliver Stone's movie with Kevin Costner, and they were going on about how badly, Lee Harvey Oswald spoke Russian, and they did this and did that, and he didn't, something, and he made a comment, he goes, that's amazing saying, it's like saying how stupid my dog is because I beat him 3 out of 4 times in chess. It was the same kind of impact that I had when I read this. I go, wait a minute. Did it have an anti-gravity effect? Yes or freaking no. Yeah, but it was so infinitesimal, it doesn't matter. Seriously? Did you or did you not demonstrate some psychic powers? Yeah, but it was a little bit. You see my point? So I was just going, they have anti-gravity? Well, of course. And then she's whisked away. You can't find anything about her anymore. So I'm just going, okay. So this is, and it's right when they started coming up with superconductors, and all this kind of stuff. So I was interested in this, and I'm going, all right, the Einstein connection. Prospects for the Alabama... HTDC, it stands for high, whatever, that's a superconductor, are attracting serious attention because this particular disc was fabricated by Ning Li, one of the world's leading scientists. In the 1980s, Li predicted that if a time-varying magnetic field were applied to superconductor ions trapped in a lattice structure, the ions would absorb enormous amounts of energy. Confined in the lattice, the ions would begin to rapidly spin, causing each to create a minuscule gravitational field. Okay? And then I made the note here. And then Ning Li is never heard from again on this issue, and I can find since then. Department of Defense scientists now. This makes me think of something Eisenhower said. The full text and links to the text and video of his farewell speech is at the end of this page. I pulled out this one quote here. Akin to and largely responsible for the sweeping changes in our industrial military posture has been the technological revolution during recent decades. Keep in mind, this is when I was born in 61. Okay? Eisenhower, Supreme Commander of Allied Forces invading Normandy and head of the most industrial military kick-ass Hitler kind of good guy, free the camp kind of guy. Okay? Then he becomes president, and he hated Truman. I mean, it was like, Truman, bad guy. I don't think he was a big supporter of the detonating nuclear device to show the Russians our penis size or something. He was a good patriotic American thing, or at least, that was the impression. So he goes, in this revolution, research has become central. It also becomes more formalized, complex, and costly. A steadily increasing share is conducted for, by, or at the direction of the federal government. Today, the solitary inventor tinkering in his shop has been overshadowed by task forces of scientists in laboratories and testing fields. In the same fashion, the free university, historically the fountainhead of free ideas and scientific discovery, has experienced a revolution in the conduct of research, partly because of the huge costs involved. A government contract becomes virtually a substitute for intellectual curiosity. For every old blackboard, there are now hundreds of new electronic computers. 1961, keep in mind. The prospect of dominion of the nation's scholars by federal employment, project allocations, and the power of money is ever present and is gravely to be regarded. Yet, in holding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific, technological elite. It is the task of statesmanship to mold, to balance, and to integrate these and other forces, new and old, within the principles of our democratic system, ever aiming toward the supreme goals of our free society. Tell me Eisenhower didn't know exactly what the heck was going on when they started getting in the superconducting blah, 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 nanotube, you know, kind of stuff. What happens? Oh, it goes to DARPA. And you have, you know, scientists that start doing anti-gravity. They're not saying it doesn't. No, it was just a little bit. Doesn't really count. And then you never hear about it again. Really? Yeah? But we bought our furnaces yesterday. And the rectifiers. And the raw material. They're on the way. And it's all open source.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah. Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. I'm here, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, FM, the BEA, beautiful studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. And those of you that are looking at the video archive or the live web streaming, go to Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com, and top up there, you'll see the radio show or down a few. We had some new postings up there, but you'll see the blue in there as today's archive. Today's show, you go in there, and it'll just start playing the live feed. If you do that, you can see, I'll push the button. You'll see the components for what we're going to be talking about today. Now, our guest is Rick Reinerson. Am I saying that right, Rick?
Yes, you are, Ernie.
Okay. Now, Rick Reinerson has a spy car, and it's, you know, I'm not even sure I would call it that. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, protect me from cops lying car. That's what it is. But the... And we have so much experience with this, and I'm so glad. Aren't you in Austin? Am I getting that right?
Actually, I'm not in Austin. I'm currently in Colorado, up in the mountains. But I do know some people from Austin.
Where was the your problems with the police that promoted you doing this?
Well, it was I had an issue in San Antonio. Where I was unlawfully pulled over and unlawfully arrested. Unfortunately, on that one, I can't really get into the details, just on advice of my lawyer. But then I've had another incident that was shortly thereafter, which was actually with the Border Patrol checkpoint in Texas. And that one's actually up on YouTube. I learned my lesson from the first one and installed some cameras, so that one you can actually watch the 35-minute detention for no reason.
No, we have lots of video of lots of detentions for lots. We wish we had your car, okay? So let's just assume that, you know, it didn't go well for you. So we don't need to talk about all the, you know, we got all kinds of video of Billy Club beating, all right? So let's go ahead and get in. It's a Mitsubishi, what, Eclipse or something? What is that?
Right. It's a Mitsubishi Eclipse. I got it armored, and so it's got bulletproof glass and a fabric called Spectre Shield on the inside to make it bulletproof. But more importantly than that, it's got multiple cameras, four cameras on the outside, of the vehicle for essentially 360-degree coverage, four independent microphones external to the car, and then it has four cameras that are hidden in the rearview mirror for the inside, plus a microphone. And all of that video and audio gets streamed back to a DVR system that's in the back, and that also includes or captures GPS position and speed, turn signals being on or off, doors open, braking. So all the sensor data is captured in this DVR system, and it's wirelessly connected to the Internet, which is really the beauty of it, because it can stream that video and secure it on a server in the off chance that, law enforcement illegally broke into my car and tried to make evidence disappear.
This is I tell you what I got. You've heard of Checkpoint USA with Terry Bressey and so on, I would imagine.
Yep, I love Terry Bressey. He's a good friend.
Okay, now Terry and I have been good friends for a long time, and when he got arrested in December of 2002, I started doing radio in February of 2003. And he was one of my first guests, man. We just plastered living crap out of it. Freedom's Phoenix started getting up. The Border Patrol unions were trying to get him fired, and they're doing every government favor or anything they could because he is faculty at the University of Arizona. And what happened was, he's does Space Watch or, something like that, Sky Watch or whatever it is, looking for asteroids and meteors to make sure we all don't die, okay? So he has to travel from University of Arizona, Kitt Peak, a lot and back and forth, and he could see that they were going through this, we're learning how to be a police state kind of stuff. And he's going, oh, no, I see what's going on here, and it's illegal as heck, and he did his thing. Well, they started taking down his videos. YouTube was freaking, I'm going, screw him. We'll put him up on the search. So we created the server space for writers and columnists and so on, people like him, to be able to actually put the video up on Freedom's Phoenix servers. And I go, tell him to come tell me to take it down. Let's play. Okay? Mm-hmm. They didn't want to play. So that kind of, he just said, never mind. That's not going to work. Now, he got his settlement. It was a couple hundred thousand dollars. And he goes, you know what, Ernie? Thank you. And he sent me a movie recording pack similar to what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Happen to have it right here. Whoop, just dropped it. Okay, this is, it comes in. Let me go ahead and put it up for the video. This is the actual device right here. That's called Movie, M-U-V-I. And I talked to Pete Iyer of Cop Block and, Motorhome Diaries and Liberty on Tour. And Pete Iyer says he sent one to Free Talk Live, the Ian 2 that gave it to him, said, here, you need this. Yes, you do. See, and it comes with a little, mount to go on your window and all that kind of stuff. So I got to mount this before I need it, all right? And so I got it. I'm like, cool. So Terry sent those out to people he thought that would make use of them and have a need because of exactly what you had gone through. He did. So he videotaped everything. But you went freaking postal. You're going, you customized the left and right rearview mirrors, your rearview mirror inside. You have, are you able to tell us where all these cameras are?
Oh, sure. Pete Iyer actually did a video for Cop Block where I gave a tour of the car and showed all the different devices at the Peaceful Streets Project's Police Accountability Summit in Austin. And sure, I can tell you anything you need to know.
Tell me, you got, because I remember it's underneath, you like had to customize the mirror housing on the left and right side, and how'd you do that?
Right, that's one of our guys in San Antonio, his name's Manny, he's an electrical engineering student, and just real handy with cars, and so I invited him out to basically install all those systems that are on there. Some of them are installed by Texas Armor Incorporation, but most of the surveillance stuff actually was installed by my buddy Manny, and he actually created from scratch those mirrors. He went out and grabbed from a junkyard some mirrors from the Mitsubishi Eclipse, and then he actually created the plastic housing and did all the plastering and the painting and everything and wired that up, so it essentially looks factory.
It looks beautiful. I mean, if you didn't know any, you thought it was just a rear view camera,
Mm-hmm.
That, which is, heck, they want to go to that, and you won't have the mirror anymore, you just have the camera. So, and which a lot of times they do. On vehicles, certainly RVs, There's no reason why you can't record that video, add a microphone. I mean, you know, this is the future as far as I'm concerned. And as this started getting, you know, worse, and I got to tell you that before a break, we're coming up on a break here. Mark Victor, a good friend of mine, is a criminal defense attorney. And he goes, you know, one time they went after him in a judicial review. They tried to get his bar card. He just really slapped the prosecutor around. And what he did is he goes to a guy that was in, it was a bar fight, kind of just stupid thing. And some off-duty cop went there and just started beating the living crap out of him. And yeah, it's a long story. But what happened was, he goes, they lie. They do what they always do. They always lie. So I told him to bring a friend, like kind of his size or so on, and put him in a suit. And he put the defendant in the seats behind him and had his friend sitting up with him. Then in the hallway before the court thing, he goes, now do what I told you to do. And he goes, yeah, that's him over there. So the cop just assumed that was the guy. Well, can you identify the guy, my client, which is in the courtroom? Oh, yeah, that's him. Oh, that's him. And he identified the friend, puts him up on the stand. And what's your name? License. Totally different guy. Everything. Boom. Case dismissed. And they were pissed. And he goes, because they do it all the time. They always lie. They just, that's default position. Even when it's in the best interest not to, they just lie.
Arizona has been one of the hottest real estate markets in the past, up until the last couple of years. Homes that were once going for $500,000 to $1 million in prestigious areas are now going for less than half of what the original purchase price was. That makes it a very good time to buy. So if you were ever thinking of retiring to Arizona's inviting climate and laid back and friendly lifestyle, now is the time. That's where I can help. This is Donna Hancock with Brangus Realty, and I have provided a way for you to search for properties that are of interest to you, all at your own convenience and without having to give out any personal information. Visit my webpage at DonnaHancock.com to start your search today. And when you're ready to make a move to Arizona's warm and sunny climate, please feel free to call or text me at 602-828-1819. Many are working hard to make sure Arizona is not only a beautiful place to live, but a free and peaceful one as well. So what are you waiting for? Make your move today by calling 602-828-1819, and don't forget to visit my webpage at DonnaHancock.com.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, and my guest, Rick Renierson, Spy Car. Now, from the previous hour, we were talking about the anti-gravity thing, blah, blah, blah. The article is called Taming Gravity by Jim Wilson in Popular Mechanics. Cody Hall, a listener to the show, said, hey, I can find that. I got buttons on keyboards and stuff. So he did. So I linked it up there. You go anti-gravity, Freedom's Phoenix, and that, and the Dr. What's her name? Ningley or whatever her name is. The point is that it was amazing to me in a lot of the articles, everybody was looking for her as much as I was. Hey, man, what happened to her? And this is called the Bose-Einstein theory. That's a long story. Go read. You know, we're going to do a show on this because it has a lot to do with our energy project that we're doing, because I'm not waiting. I don't trust these guys. You know, anytime we are freed from, you know, they go, oh, no, you're not allowed. Nope, wouldn't be prudent at this juncture because we make a bunch of money off of you just being livestock. And that attitude permeates society in so many different ways, and it goes all the way down to, I got a shiny badge, you don't, and here's my gun, and you're just mine. I mean, and they're taught that way. They're trained that way. You respect my authority. The number one thing is, if you don't kiss butt enough, and if they have, we've had situations, you know, that reminds me, Baudette. Call June, find out how Eric's doing, what his sentence is and everything that's coming up. Because I know he got sentenced to 13 years. We kept track of him for a little bit and everything. A good friend of ours, their son, good guy, you know, just not bothering anybody, but he did do a lot of activism in the courts. He used the courts. He challenged the demand that you have to have a driver's license. And he'd go to court, and they'd go through, and they'd win, and they didn't, and it pissed him off, and bad guys didn't like it. And this is in the mid-90s, and it's all this patriot stuff, and all, and, you know, like, got Ron Paul bumper stickers, pull him over kind of thing. And, you know, I'm just going, wow, man, this is, and what they did is they pulled him over. And the officer had a match 1911, and he just pulled out the draw on him, and it went off. And they had a killing here in northern Arizona that a highway patrolman did that. He's just being all your mama and in your face and has his gun drawn, accidentally went off and killed the guy. Well, he admitted, okay, it was an accident. I'm sorry. You're ever so sorry if I killed your son. It was because he was a younger guy. And it was just, we banned these pistols, these hair triggers and everything. We don't offer that. Well, this guy, of course, he didn't care. And he did same thing. He pulled up being a butthead because Eric was out. They knew who he was. You know, he's a nonviolent guy. And he was out shooting with his dog up in northern Arizona, and that's what he did. He was a big shooting enthusiast. So he's out with a German Shepherd out shooting, tail light thing, pull him over, and he gets out of the car, and he sees he has a sidearm on. So he draws down on him, down on him, and when he drew his gun, it went off. Well, the officer, what Eric was telling me, goes, the officer was like, oh, man, this is not going to look good on report kind of thing. So he just tried to kill him. So he dived behind the front of his car, drew his six gun, it was just like a revolver, and just went boom, boom, boom in the air, and then took off into the desert. Turned himself in later, man. Crazy rogue cop. Come to find out later that he had a fight with the supervisor. He's just going to take it out on John Q. Public. Later, he would resign and under stress, all this kind of stuff, and they got rid of him. But what happened was they wanted to get his employee file, his jacket, and the court ordered county attorney, turn over whatever, get it, and they go, no, we're not going to do it. Went all the way to Supreme Court, defying a court. No, because the guy was a rogue cop. He was scum. And this was, it was so open, whatever, 13 years. Boom. And there's so many things went on in that trial. He was out, all during the trial. They, bond, he's out, for a couple of years. And then boom, 13 years. So it should be coming up pretty soon. He may be out already. So we're going to check on that. And to think that I don't think there's bad cops out there, I got so many examples of people, good, close friends, my own personal experiences. I just, yells them, boss, how high? Because I deal with it later. But if you show even the least little, resistance to licking boot, oh, here it comes. Now, we can't get into the details of Rick Rynearson's particular situation, but it was enough to motivate him to wire his car. And I'm wondering why an Eclipse. I mean, you just like the car? I mean, they're pretty cars. I mean, you just said, hey, if I'm going to do it, it's going to be a cool car. I mean, why'd you pick that one?
Well, yeah, I like the Eclipse, but I'm not a flashy guy. It turns out to be a relatively expensive car because of the modifications, but, it's low-key, and my intent is to just blend in. I'm not out there trying to be flashy or trying to make something happen. I just want to drive my car. It's just a regular car, but it has surveillance on it, and that's the only thing that makes that car special.
Well, if they were to go, how does it continually always stream to the internet, or is it you flip a switch, or what? How's this worked where they can't just, crush the car, take all the electronics, and, pound it out of you?
Right. Yeah, I would actually have to, over the internet, make it stream. I'm actually working on some software now. That essentially, I have a center-mounted iPad on my console. I'll have an application where I just press a button, and what that'll do is it'll go back to my home computer or, Amazon Cloud, wherever I host my software, and then it'll know, okay, he wants to pull information, so then it'll take and connect over the internet to my car's DVR, and it'll pull footage from 5 minutes prior to me initiating that action, knowing that, likely that 5 minutes prior is important. It'll pull that, and then it'll continue to also download the data there on out until I tell it to stop. And that software, we want to make that software work with the cheapest DVR that we can find. And right now, our website over at Veterans Against Police Abuse, we have a contest, so if anyone wants to, help us research the cheapest DVR that will allow connecting to the internet, we will buy that system for the person who finds it. So we have a contest up, what our hope is to try to find the cheapest DVR that will allow us to secure the evidence over the internet. Most people don't have bulletproof cars, So, you know, it doesn't take much for a cop to get into the vehicle and make evidence disappear. So having it secured over the internet to a place they can't get it is really a primary concern. And we want to make that affordable so that we can get it in the hands of more Americans.
You know, this is, I can see where this is going. You know, this is, this because there's a need. I mean, you know, this stuff doesn't happen in a vacuum. You know, it's just, you know, but what do you think has happened? How old are you?
I'm 38.
So you're not a child. I mean, you know, this, you've been around long enough to be able to recognize trends. And I'm going, is it trending to where you felt like it's a police state that, you know what, this wasn't a random kind of, you know, occurrence. This is a trend, and I'm preparing for the trend. Is that where your head's at?
Yeah, I do think it's essentially it's a police state. When a law enforcement officer can pull you over for any reason or no reason at all, and then arrest you, kidnap you, and then, you know, ruin your life in some cases. Now, when that happens regularly, then that, to me, is a police state.
It's time for a surveillance kit on your car. That's what we'll talk about when we come back in just a little bit.
Take control of your money today and do it with style. Young Austrians are right now fashioning the silver economy. Would you like to take part? You'll find all the tools you need at DontTreadOnMeme.com. Don't Tread on Meme is the only place where you can get your hands on silver dime trading cards with the most unforgettable designs, like Clint Eastwood's Fistful of Silver Dollars, Murray Rothbard, Enemy of the State, the Ron Paul Lovelution, and the cover art of George Orwell's book 1984. Download the free silver calculator app from the iPhone or Android markets and get up-to-the-minute silver spot prices at your fingertips. And hey, we're all Austrians now, so why not express your passion for silver and promote the ideas of honest money with Don't Tread on Meme's clever apparel? Boycott an empire of theft. Buy silver. Trade with value. Build a society of consent. Do it all at DontTreadOnMeme.com. That's DontTreadOnMeme.com.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Veterans. Veterans against and for stuff. You know what might they be against? How about police state? Let's do that. Veterans Against Police Abuse .org. That would be, I don't know, is that, you know, we're abusing police, we should be against abusing police, or them abusing us? You know, that's an interesting, you know, thing to look at, because, you know, I remember, you know, a time when I was a kid, you know, you might be thinking that was, you know, somebody was abusing police, you know. Hey, you don't think that anymore. I give you this, you know, this point. When I was a kid, and there would be a policeman behind us, it's like waving at him, you know, hi, oh, we're better off, a policeman's behind us. And of course, our parents probably weren't thinking that, but, you know, we would be going, yay, hi, you know, no, and yay, and we're safe and better than policemen. Then I remember it was late 90s or something. This is the only time I ever did this. I'm coming off an off-ramp of the freeway and at the light, you know, at the exit. In front of me is a mounted policeman on a motorcycle, and he had a frame around his license plate, and it says, smile, I could be behind you. And I was so pissed off, and I called the station, asked for the lieutenant, and I said, look, you know, I've never called, I'm just pissed off. You know, that they would have this attitude that, you know, nah, 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 you're lucky you're behind me because I could be behind you because I'm, like, got a gun and stuff. And it just pissed me off. Now, I don't know, he went and said something, you should take it off or don't, or they don't care. You know, but I was compelled because I can see the attitude, this attitude of just because we got a gun, we can't. Well, you know, you always have when you do the kind of negative waves. You know, there's always a repercussion. There's always a pushback. There's always, and human beings are creative. And a lot of times they want you to be violent. They want you to do this. It justifies the nightstick upside the head. What they don't want is they don't want everybody to know what they're doing. That's what they don't want. So here we have Rick Renierson comes up with, and now he's got another project and an app that he wants to deal with, and we're going to talk about. It's called iCitizen. Now, Rick, tell us all about that, man. Go.
All right. The iCitizen application is basically going to be software that you can put on your smart device, so a Droid or an iPhone. You'll have that application. And then the other component will be a remote server that will communicate with that device. So it's right now you just imagine you're driving and you see the lights in the rearview mirror. And you go to this application, you hit one button, and a couple of things happen. First thing that starts happening is the smart device records and streams the audio and video to that remote server to secure it. And there's lots of applications that do that already, like Bambuser or Quick. So those are great.
Now, you're saying that it will go back 5 minutes and, you know, retroactively start pulling from the DVR, your drive or whatever, to put that up to because it's pertinent.
That's actually a separate software system that we're working on. This one would not be connected to a DVR, so it would just be your smart device. So it would just start recording from when you hit the button.
Okay.
You would hit that button, it would start recording and then streaming to secure that evidence on a remote server.
Okay, so you're talking about not just the software is not just it's going to be associated with your car, it's anybody's smartphone device. So that's in addition to this other project.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep. And it'll secure and stream that video and audio, but more importantly, and this is what makes it a little bit more unique, and it kind of is in the along the lines of what John Bush with Lone Star, Liberty Bell, and Porcupine have done. The other thing that it will do is it will already know your network because you will have went to the remote server and set up your account, put in individuals you want contacted if you need to alert them, put in their phone numbers, their email addresses. So it'll already have this information. So not only will it stream this stuff back to the remote server to secure it, but then it will access your personal network and send out text messages and emails to your network and saying, hey, something's going on. Here's a link. Please click on this link to meet up in a chat room where you can monitor the situation. So all these people get this alert, hey, something's happened to Rick. They click on the link from their computers. Now they're in a chat room. In this chat room, they are listening to the audio stream, watching the video as it's happening, and the software will then help them organize in a way where they can be most useful. For example, it will let everybody in the chat room know how far they are from my location. So if they want to head out to my location and get cameras on to add to the information, they can do that. If a person decides they're going to do that, they just click one little button, and everybody knows this person's en route to go there to record. And when they get there, they're using the same application on their smart device. That video stream is added to the chat room, so everyone has benefit of all this information. In addition to that, it'll bring up media contact information. The software will know the location of where I'm pulled over, and it'll bring up media contact information there. It'll bring up information on law enforcement agencies that are there, and basically it'll have a checklist of information that people in the chat room can grab facts, relevant facts, and put these into a little checklist. So it creates this
report,
this one area, yeah, that has all this information. So while they're listening, if they hear something that happens, they can go ahead and contact media immediately. They can get lawyers to come out immediately. They can contact the supervisor immediately and give them relevant information. Hey, you know, LAPD officer, Smith, badge number, whatever. He's pulled over our friend at blah blah blah, and he just told him that he pulled him over because he can. You know, what's going on here? You know, this is an outrage. Now,
will the media be able to have a link that they can go in and retroactively review the comments and all that kind of stuff?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the third component. This component allows the cop to feel pressure in real time. When he starts getting phone calls from his supervisor, when his supervisor starts getting multiple phone calls while the incident is happening, hopefully that will get back to, you know, the police officer and will deflate any chance for violence.
You know, we had a situation, matter of fact, a friend of ours, she was just over yesterday and the day before we had a party and so on. And she was up with us at, it was some freedom event thing. We were helping some activists in Las Vegas and we were staying at some friends. And, you know, it's a blah, 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 long story. Late at night, she's out front in a secured community kind of thing, just having a cigarette. Well, the people didn't know who she was. They call the security. They call the cops. And she's just like, you know what? I'm just, you know, screw you. I don't have to give you my ID. And she was kind of just, you know, pissed off. And, you know, and then it goes from there. And, you know, one of the other friends wakes me up. You know, bam, 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 bam. Hey, the cops are here. And Renee's out front in front of the house. And, you know, in a nice community there and so on. We got to what? And I go out, what's going on? And it just, by that time, it had got to you not respecting my authority. So I already knew where this is going. So I just went and got my video camera, leaned up against the wall, and just tried to rest and close my eyes and just had the video camera on. And the police officer, I could hear him be advised they're videotaping me. And everything changed. And it was just, you know, my respect, my authority turned into how can I get the hell out of here? And it was, I can see the difference in the, they're, you know, they don't like the light on them. And this, you know, sheds a light, but think about it. As we've had these situations before in Keene, you know, we got Damo when they arrested him and so on. What'd they do? They went around and collected a dozen cell phones. I mean, you know, they're just like, yep, gimme, 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 gimme. So when you do this, what do? I don't know. You know, at some point, there's going to, at some point in the future, at some point, you know, a year, a decade, you know, 100 years from now, at some point, they're going to be going to the people's houses and ripping out hard drives and scrubbing internets and whatever. I mean, it always escalates. This is their mentality. So we have to change the culture, and this can help do that. What is your goal?
Well, our goal is exactly what you said. You know, we want Americans to arm themselves with technology that will secure evidence, that will protect them in the case, you know, that they encounter a law enforcement officer who breaks the law. And we also want to, you know, through the iCitizen, we'll archive all this information in a way that people can see it. So if people want to see encounters, they can go there and they can see, okay, This is the reality. This is how many...
This is going to be the biggest resource for a bunch of media to the point that they're not going to want... Heck, they're going to have a law making it illegal. Oh, it's called wiretapping. Oh, we'll talk about that. We know you're out there. We can feel you now. We know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. We don't know the future. We aren't here to tell you how this is going to end. We're here to tell you how it's going to begin. We're going back to editing the next edition of Freedom's Phoenix Digital Magazine now, where we are telling the people what you don't want them to know. We're showing them a world without you, a world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries, a world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice we leave to you. Subscribe at freedomsphoenixeasy.com. That's freedoms with an S, phoenixeasy.com.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Everybody else from the embarrassment of being told you a liar. Liar, liar, pants up. Of course, you were there, and you were the one getting billy clubbed, but or shot, you know, or tased, or whatever, but you didn't have a shiny badge. You didn't, you respect their authority enough. Let me tell you one thing they do not want is a freaking constitutional lesson on the side of the road. You know, that you know, they don't like that one bit, and they will make up stuff and often do. And, well, so you go, you know what? I got a version of the events. It's called videotape and audio tape of what happened. That's what I got. So this is, we're encouraging Rick to write for this next month's digital magazine, because I can see, I'm looking into the future, and I can see the empowerment of individuals as, you know, as we, technology makes it to where we can live out in the Lone Prairie and off the grid, and we can produce our own energy, our own water, our own protection, our own. Heck, we got printable machine guns we can do now. You know, 3D printing, boom, done. You know, I got my own whatever the heck, you know, plasma ray, and I win. I'm over here now. Now what? Well, they can't have that. They hate that. And they'll make up stuff. You're a bad guy. We're going to put you in jail forever because they can. So this is, I can see that this is going to be more and more popular and as a business. Now, is this an activist thing, Rick? Or is this, you know, segueing into all of a sudden it's a commercial venture?
Well, I don't really use the word activist to describe myself. For me, it's a matter of, I took an oath to support and defend the Constitution, and I take that oath seriously. And so I feel it's my duty to attack a threat or to defend, you know, help the people defend themselves against a threat to their liberties.
Well, there's going to be, commercial demand. I mean, I can see, heck, you bought it. You spent a bunch of money on this stuff. There's going to be more and more and more and more and more and more and more people exactly like you going, you got a kit, boom, won it. Hell, I got this movie thing is made for just this. I mean, who gives a crap about recording inside your car? I'm driving. I know what happened in my car. I'm in my car. Oh, I got to record it for somebody else because somebody, assaulting, being a pain in the butt, cop. When all of a sudden you're starting to see a market for this very thing. So have you been contacted? Hey, I want one. Build me one. Can I have one?
Well, right now we haven't actually created anything. So we've been just at this point telling people what we've used, what works for us. We don't make any money off of it. We don't sell anything. In the future, when we do produce our own products like the iCitizen and some other software, our intent is not to make money off of it. So it's not a commercial enterprise because we want it to be in the hands of as many people as possible. Now, I do have an idea for the iCitizen. People are going to be able to go to iCitizenHQ.com, and our vision is that they'll see a map and they'll see dots on a Google map of LEO encounters that are going on. They can click on those and they can listen in. There'll be archived data so people can get this big picture, and we could sell advertising and something like that.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. It's a live reality TV show that has feeds from all over the country. Oh, this one's boring. No blood. this one's interesting. Let's do this. Let's watch it. And live viewing of this as it's going on right then. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. And beyond that, they'll have the archived information. So, and they will collect information from the person after the encounter. And the point of that is, to make it, sure, somewhat entertaining or informative for gawkers who we'd sell advertising to try to make money off of. But more importantly than that is to collect statistical data to show, this really is the reality. A lot of people like to say, well, police abuse, it's really rare. It's only one bad apple. Well, we want to put information out there so people can actually see what that's like. In addition to that, we want to make it as easy as possible for other media outlets and lawyers to get the information they need very quickly so they can go there and shop around for work. I want lawyers to come to that site, peruse where they're at, quickly get the information that they want so they can contact the person and say, hey, I'm interested in representing you in a lawsuit.
I think that, as I understand it, that's illegal. They have to be approached. You can't go do, anyway, at different states. But the point is that I understand your point. Lawyers would be advertised on your site. Hey, got a problem like this? Call me. I'll do it. So this is, I'm way ahead, and let me tell you, I've seen this in the past, and when the internet first started in the 90s, there were a lot of smart guys that were using the internet, to put up information on bad cops, and they do that. You go after them, you attack them, just like with Terry, here they come, you'll have something up there, it's evidence, it's wiretapping, it's whatever, they're going to do any and everything they can to come after you, which, kind of gives you media coverage and more support and everybody understand what's happening anyway. But, I mean, do you anticipate there's going to be some pushback from the man?
Absolutely. If I'm successful, I fully expect.
See, The more successful you are, they go, oh, hell no. So this is, have you gotten any pushback yet?
We haven't really been successful yet. We're still pretty new. We're just dabbling at this point, just getting our legs But I expect that we're going to have something to offer the community that's going to be real and tangible here within the next 5 years for sure.
So you're what keeps you busy during the day? What's your day job?
Well, I'm actually in the military, but of course, all my views here are my personal views and don't represent the Department of Defense.
Oh, so you're actually in the military, right? So when this happened to you, you were a veteran?
Yes.
And that had an impact on your career?
Definitely.
In what way? I mean, it's just because they're part of the machine and they said, you know, slap this boy around because he needs to be slapped around?
Well, you know, again, just on advice of my counsel, I can't really get into the details of that, but, you know.
But they're all part of the same machine.
Well, not everybody is, but unfortunately, you know.
Yeah, no, I've seen this. It's in fact, it's a long story, but bottom line is that, you know, you call the right guy, they have a supervisor, and it's like, look, we're government agency of government agency, and you're a government agency, and you got your government guy, and he's not being in support of government. You know, and then God forbid that you actually resist or say no, or no, I'm going to court. And they're going, ooh, and they start putting pressure on, you're so not allowed. And I'll guarantee, without knowing anything, that the pressure on you from being in the military has definitely got from the civilian authorities going to your superiors on your pursuit of whatever you're doing in court. Am I correct?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there is a linkage. I mean, if you were to watch that Border Patrol checkpoint, you'll see that at the end of 30 minutes, with two passports in their hands, a military ID and a driver's license, I've answered every question they've asked me. I've complied with every request they've made of me, and that wasn't good enough. And at the 35-minute point, the supervisor gets on the phone and calls the military. He calls my commander. Why? To allegedly determine that I'm an American citizen? With all that information in his hand, you know, he was punishing me because, you know, I wasn't licking boots. And that's exactly it. They want some submissiveness. They don't want an American, you know, they don't want to deal with an American. They want to deal with somebody who's subservient. And, so that's what that was. You know, they call it contempt of cop or whatever. Now, in addition to that, you know, several days later, despite the fact that the full video from four different cameras was up on YouTube, and they were aware of it, the chief Border Patrol agent actually wrote a letter to my commander full of, you know, misinformation, despite having the evidence on YouTube. So, unfortunately, for some people in the military, they will certainly leverage that against you, which is unfortunate because, you know, by resisting violations of my constitutional rights, I am doing exactly what I swore I would do when I took the oath. You know, it's not that I'm against government. I'm part of good government.
You know, the U.S. Navy, a global force for good. And you just have to laugh. But some people take this seriously that are in the military. Hey, man, I thought we were the good guys. Can we even try to be good guys? Is it possible to be good guys? Well, one of the good guys, Rick Renierson, veteransagainstpoliceabuse.org. veteransagainstpoliceabuse.org. Rick, thanks for doing this, and stay in touch with us and let us know how we can help promote this, because, I mean, you know, I already see a future. And 5 years, I think it might ramp up a little faster than that. But we're glad you're there. Thanks for coming on the show, Rick.
Pleasure, Ernie. Thanks for what you do.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEAUT full studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. And as promised, we have Marianne Williamson. And the one thing that I want to talk about, there's a lot of things I'm sure that we'll get over in the, you know, the hour. But the first thing I want to start off with is the advocacy for a Department of Peace. And the problem is, whenever you have a department of anything in government, it's always the opposite of whatever they say it's going to be. You know, it's like when it was the War Department, I think we were at peace more. You know, then it became the Defense Department, and then we're at war all the time. You know, so I'm just like, you know, whenever they do anything, it's like, you know, the Patriot Act is unpatriotic. You know, the Department of Education is, you know, dumbing us down. You see my point? I mean, it's like Department of Energy is quelling alternatives, you know, regardless of what they say. And I'm going, you know, this is, I'm not sure I want a Department of Peace. I understand the motivation behind it. I understand the attitude. I understand the need. But I, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm just, you know. So Marianne Williamson, she's a spiritual activist and an author and lecturer and founder of the Peace Alliance. And it's a grassroots campaign supporting legislation for Congress. And I bet you there's all kinds of congressmen saying, yeah, sign me up. They put my name on the list. I want to be, because I'm for peace. As I vote for, you know, we're going to go bomb children. So I'm just going, this is, I want to start with that. And then there's a, you know, more, she's more about the consciousness, you know, of the American public and an advocacy that, you know, more feminine orientation of our society might bring about a more of a nurturing kind of, we don't got to go kill people. But I'm just going, I mean, it just, you know, springs to mind. I'm thinking, yeah, that might, well, except for Hillary Clinton, State Department is go kill people. And maybe Madeleine Albright, it's all right, you know, for Iraqi babies to die. And maybe, well, you know, Condoleezza Rice was a big war hawk. And then what about, I mean, you know, it just goes on and on and on. You know, Pelosi, yeah, we're going to stop the one, then they go fund it. I mean, so I'm just like, you know, the advocacy for you, mom, thing's not working out, you know, so far. So I'm just going, all right, let's start with the Peace Alliance. Marianne, welcome to the show. Help me out and let me know.
You. Okay. Well, I don't know about helping you out and letting you know, but certainly taking on the subject with you. First of all, what you said is true, that no matter what arm of government exists, it will still matter who is in charge of that government to determine what they do with that department. There is no doubt about that. So if you take something like what you said about the Department of Peace, on one hand, what you said is true. It's like there are certain elements in our society who every time they want to do something really terrible, they call it a reform. So you're absolutely right. I mean, there are. It could be argued that if there were a Department of Peace, depending on who the president was particularly, because it would be an executive, it would be a department in the executive branch, there would be a secretary of. It's true, depending on who the president was, who was appointed to be that secretary, the consciousness may or may not be anything that was really intended. But you want to be careful there, I think, because we could use that as an excuse to never do anything. Because the intention of a Department of Peace is this, that right now, when we think of solving conflict, whether it's domestic or international, we take what, if you look at the medical model, would be seen as allopathic measures. We only think in terms of external things. We don't seek to prevent violence. We don't seek to ameliorate it on any level other than, once it's acted out, let's put people in prison or go to war. So what the Department of Peace would do is that it would seek out, it would articulate, and it would facilitate nonviolent options to both domestic and international conflict.
Well, they called that the State Department.
No, absolutely not. The State Department works, number one, only internationally, and the State Department only works government to government. The Department of Peace would address both domestic and international and would work on levels that are not just governmental.
All right, let me give you an example of what I'm thinking of. Right. First thing that pops to head, you know, to mind here. You know, I mean, kind of the meme, the graphics going around that says, Obama has now fired more cruise missiles than any other Nobel Peace Prize winner. I mean, you know, so I'm just thinking, you know, it's funny and sad at the same time, you know, that this is, what's the criteria for that? So whenever you create something as notable as the Nobel Peace Prize, and then you give it to a warmonger kind of man. It was just wow. I mean, it always goes down the dark side. Whenever you can, you got powerful people that want to have the label. It's going to be a campaign thing. I'm surprised it hasn't made it into the presidential discourse yet about him being a Nobel Peace Prize winner. I don't think that one's going to work anymore. And I see whenever you create something like this, it always wants to be bastardized. It always wants to, you know, put, it's like making a silk purse out of a sow's ear kind of thing. You know, we're just going to take this label and we're going to put it on there and call it something else. And I'm going, all right. Let me go ahead and make my point and you'll understand. My thing is that whenever you do this kind of anything, you touch it with government, it gets sullied from the beginning for their interest. And when you had the Surgeon General comes out, United States Surgeon General goes, you know what? We need to start thinking about doing away with this drug war. This thing's not really working the way it's supposed to. Oh, boom, fired, you're done. And I see the same thing happening when you have somebody being paid for by the United States government and their interest as they advocate for peace is counter to what the government and industrial complex, de law, whatever wants. You know, they're going to be co-opted or abused way faster than if it was outside of government.
Well, Ernest, to be honest, what you're saying would be an excuse to never do anything.
No, and never do anything with the government. Yeah. Damn, Skippy.
Okay, but may I respond to that? There is, I think where I agree with you is we must always be vigilant. And people are imperfect. And the misuse of anything is always a danger. So what you're saying could be applied to anything, even not government. Anytime you create form, depending on the purposes to which the form and that material manifestation is applied, it can be misused. But to, in my opinion, the darker, sinister elements that you speak of, with, and I do not disagree with you, has less to do with the very fact that government exists and more to do with the fact that very narrow moneyed interests now control the government. The fact that we don't stop the drug war, the fact that we have so many wars, period, is not because government exists. It's because the government is bought and sold by very narrow corporate interests.
Why is the effort to make it a government thing? You know, I give you an example. You may not know this. Audience knows this. I'm the one that created the Ron Paul Lovolution logo. Okay,
yeah, you're clearly libertarian. Yeah.
Yeah. No, we pump this Lovolution thing. It's an attitude. Yeah. It's a piece.
Okay.
It's, you know, let's not bomb people. Let's get. It had absolutely nothing to do with government. We didn't want it sullied. So as we're going, it's not that I'm not an advocate for peace. I mean, I'm big, huge peace guy. The thing is that I'm going. Yeah, and where did the anti-war movement go? They got co-opted by government. You know,
well, wait a minute, Ernest. Let's just talk some facts here. If
Please.
You look at the anti-war movement in the 60s and the 70s, we stopped a war. I mean, that's what gets left out a lot of times when people talk about the 60s.
What war?
Or what they do. It was called the Vietnam War.
No, the soldiers stopped the war by fighting it.
You think the soldiers just decided to stop fighting?
You know, there's a documentary called Sir, No Sir that I encourage the audience to watch. Sir, No Sir. And it was why they had to start bombing the crap out of Cambodia and North Vietnam, because the soldiers, 6,000 officers were fragged when they said, we got to go in the field. They go, boom, I guess we're not going today. And if that's what the Pentagon admits to, they didn't want to fight it.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Oh, it's always the devil inside the details. Devil inside. You know, and where do we always find it? Well, you know where we find it. Now, you know, Marianne Williamson, she is, you know, obviously, and we're having some graphics that are going up here. You know, a beautiful woman, has a lot of contacts, and standing by Oprah. I mean, you know, that, you know, you get an Oprah endorsement, that does not suck. So, well, in some people's opinion. Okay, but I don't believe anybody to be malicious in their intent. It's just that after a certain point, you start to go, man, is this the way to go? Is this working? And what other opportunities do we have to glean information from where things have been more effective? And I can never see Congress being the solution. It's a cultural thing. So let's, and that's one thing that I was hoping we'd get into later after I let you express yourself, is that, you know, really what you're talking about, there's a cultural aspect here, but you're really trying to focus in into creating some kind of a government representation of what should be, in my opinion, a cultural thing outside of government. So go ahead, segment's yours, give us what for.
I don't think that government is the source of our good. I just believe that government should express our good. And I think that when people talk about, I don't want anything to do with government because they do such terrible things. Well, let me tell you something. The people who do the most terrible things with government just love to hear that. Because if you just abdicate the field to them, then you better believe all the things that you fear the most are going to be happening. So I don't look at government or politics as the answer to the problems of the world. In fact, I see the answer to the problems of the world. Basically, what you said is something that happens inside people. But when you look at the extraordinary material resources and forces that are an expression of government, no matter how small it is, with over 300 million people, government can only be so small, no matter how much you whittle it down, it will still be doing things. And unless you're going to become an anarchist and have no government at all, then having a responsible attitude about what the government is doing seems to me a lot more meaningful than just putting down anything government does. Because like I said, you do that, then the people who you distrust the most will completely be able to take it over. I don't look at government as the solution to our problems, but I look at government, if we're not watching what it's doing, as an obstruction to our furtherance, and just damning everything that it does, to me, actually counterintuitively bolsters its most nefarious influences.
I can't disagree more. I mean, you know, this, you know, the reason is, I mean, because all the evidence is on my side. I mean, you know, it's, when people, one thing that government depends on more than anything else is, you know, relevance. I mean, we're the government. You know, if it wasn't for us, you wouldn't have, like, government doing this, and it'd be worse if it wasn't here. And I get this a lot. They'll go, Ernie, you're just an anarchist. And I'm going, compared to what? What we got now? I mean, it just progressively keeps getting worse. I'm wondering, at what point do you start to retract your support of the monopoly of force on individuals? I mean, how many weddings you got to missile? I mean, how many people you got to beat up on the street? How many? I mean, you dissent, and all of a sudden you got billy clubbed. I mean, I'm wondering, it's not going to come from there.
But hold on just a moment. You say it's not going to come from there. The answer's not going to come from there, but the problem is coming from there.
Yep.
Let's be very clear. The problem is coming from there.
Yep.
So if you don't, for instance, take it's what we were saying before. If you've got the military-industrial complex, we spend $700 billion a year, and that's all that we even know about, on military. So the answer is not to just turn away from government. The answer is to do what it is to, among other things, override through a constitutional amendment the corporate influence of money, so that money doesn't make wars happen the way it does.
You know, let me make this an opinion, and I've had this opinion for a long time, and it's been bolstered. Of course I do, and this is my answer. They believe that money is the source of the power in government, and I'm just, no, it's power is the source of the corruption of money. If you eliminate the power to do or give grant favors or give stuff to people, you eliminate that power, the money goes away. There's no reason to give somebody a bribe or funnel if they don't have the power to give you something in return. Take the power away, the money goes away.
So you would have no government whatsoever?
Compared to what we got now, hell yeah, that's my option.
Okay.
The thing is, though, is that I'm like not against government. I'm against coercive government. I'm against guns to my temple. I'm against force.
You said you're not against government. You're against coercive government.
Right.
And yet your solution, as I understand it, is to have no involvement with government whatsoever. So that only actually leaves the field. It's like abdicating to the field to the people who would do the most coercive things.
You're missing the field. See, you're thinking that the field is whether we're going to have a good government, who's in charge of the ring of power.
You know, the libertarians are hobbits. You know, we don't want to be the master of the ring or master of people. You know, and we sure as heck don't want people master over us. We're not arguing over who gets to wear the ring. It's our turn or behind the lever of power. We want to take the ring of power and chuck it in the fires of Mordor. You know,
you were supporting Ron Paul.
I supported libertarianism. You never saw me ever say anything about voting. I haven't voted since 2002. Heck, in 2004, I ran against McCain as a libertarian candidate and still didn't vote. I mean, you know, this is, you know, we're activists for a philosophy. We're activists for people. That's what the Levolution was all about. It was libertarian like Ron Paul. I never said vote for him. I know better than that. I don't trust the electronic system to begin with. I ran for Secretary of State twice here in Arizona on just that issue. Don't get me going. But the thing is that, you know, and you probably know guys like Brad Freeman at Brad Blog. We worked together a long time. I was a talk show host, a token libertarian, an Air America affiliate here. I know the left's argument. I went through the 08 election cycle, Kucinich, Obama, Hillary versus, I've been there, done that, got all kinds of T-shirts. And the point that I'm making is that a lot of people miss the point. The point that we're advocating is not that there is a, you know, problem with, you know, how you would govern yourself or do you have the allowed. And what does yourself mean and how local and how, you know, what, I mean, that's not the point. It's the Declaration of Independence. Why this show is Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. Why? Because there was a standard by which we started this country and how to recognize bad government. There are those that just want to be left alone, and there are those that just won't leave them alone. And when the only purpose of government in our founding documents was this, to defend the rights of the individual, life, liberty, pursue my own happiness, and whatever that meant, and however, whoever I want to love, whatever I want to smoke, and whatever I want to do. And when government becomes destructive of that, right, duty, alter, abolish. Well, then I'm going, okay, so this election thing, let's go. Well, the government's in charge of the election process, and man, they got problems. So I'm going, all right, so what is the real solution? The solution is not that there's some kind of we need to be in charge of the force of government, is that we need to understand that that force should not be monopolized against the rights of the individual. They are the bad guys by every measure. We need the TSA to anal probe us because to protect us from whatever. And I'm going, there's no Muslim fundamentalist Islamo-fascist eye anal probing me. It's you. So I'm just like, it's just, you look at where the source of the problem is. It's the, in our heads, it's that we've delegated this monopoly of force against the individual when they were supposed to protect us from it. And they're not. That's my point. More with Marianne Williamson when we come back.
There are those that just want to be left alone. And those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Okay, those of you on the live web streaming, you know, you're getting the off-air conversation with me and Marianne. This is how I picture it. You'll have someone, because I love having, you know, my years at Air America, man, you know, I'm just, man, these are the kind of conversation I had a lot. And why would they keep me there years? Because people love to listen to it. So what happens is, this is what we're going to do. I want her to express herself, but there is no way on this show that I'm going to have somebody make statements about. So I'm just like, man, I'm not going to respond, man. And I know the audience, they're like, oh, Ernie, oh, we know that. We know the rhetoric for that. We know the. Okay, yes, we do. Let's go ahead and let her make it, because it's important. Now, keep in mind, Marianne, your audience is not progressives. They're not neocons. They're not Republicans. They're not Democrats. They're not. They're freedom-oriented, not the patriot kind of, you know, guns answer to everything. They are the true, real, just, man, I just want to be left alone. I want to raise my children. I don't want to be forced to put something in their, you know, skin, the needle kind of, because for the collective herd good. I don't want to be, I just want to be left alone. I don't want to fund these wars. I don't want to have a gun to my head to pay for that. I don't want, I go, you got to make a rational, you know, kind of, I don't know, encouragement for them to whatever it is that you want to do. So with this audience and this opportunity and this root of the grapevine into this powerful revolution that exploded across this country, here's your opportunity. Inject whatever infection you want into their minds. Go.
What I believe about America is that we are many different voices and many different viewpoints, many of which are very valid and legitimate. And I believe that the basic libertarian viewpoint has a lot of legitimacy and validity. To me, as an American, I don't believe any group has a monopoly on truth. And I believe we grow as human beings when we do more than just talk to people who agree with us. I think something happens when we realize that everybody brings some aspect of truth to the table. Like, truth has many facets. It's like a diamond. And I think that there's a constant dance of synergy and balance of which viewpoint in any particular situation is the most important to consider, depending on what the issues are. So I think that what America needs now, I mean, everybody's saying my way is the right way. And I think the quote-unquote right way is when we listen to each other and take in sometimes what other people are saying, even when it's not specifically what we agree with, because in a particular situation, that viewpoint might be the most important. So I don't, you know, I do not not share with you a deep concern about the overreach of government. And I believe you're correct. I agree with you that the founders were concerned about that, too. However, what I am submitting, not that we see it eye to eye, but that I think is a valid discourse, is that there are some areas where, for me, the issue is not that any inherent exercise of government is bad, but that government itself is neutral and has to do with what we do with it, which is why for me, and I understand that for you that means don't even vote, for me it has to do, just for me personally, I'm not saying it's right for you, but I think it's a valid dialogue. For me that means to vote, because some people, in my mind, would overreach and dominate a lot more than others. Now, for me, because you were talking about Barack Obama before, to me, because of the undue influence of corporate money, especially with the Citizens United decision by the Supreme Court that allows unlimited and anonymous donations of corporate cash, we now have a situation where both Democrats and Republicans are so bought and sold by the corporate order that one is hardly any better than the other. So to me, you say, whereas from what I hear you say, therefore have nothing to do with either one of them, I would have preferred, you know, the Supreme Court justices that voted the way they did in Citizens United were of a definite political stripe. So for me, I take a lot of the same concerns that you have, but I go to a different place. I don't see it as the issue of non-involvement with government. I see it as an issue of being in charge of government to make sure that government does not overreach in some of the ways that you believe.
You know, the one thing that I'd like to make sure that you understand how we see is to think that this movement, this awareness, this understanding has not had an influence on government means you weren't paying attention.
Which movement? Your movement, Libertarian?
Yeah, the Libertarian.
Well, I think Libertarian is very important. I think it's very important. I think it's had a lot of influence in government.
Of course it has.
It's an important strain.
Do we have to elect somebody? Do we got to get somebody? You never elected him. I'm going, you're confusing me with someone that gives a crap. It's not about that.
Okay, let me ask you this question. Ron Paul, let's just look at Ron Paul for a moment. And I agree with a lot of what he says. Now, I disagree with some of what he says, but I agree with a lot of what he says. I personally, this is me personally, feel that he really added something to those Republican debates.
What?
He was very, pardon?
What? What did he add? What was it that he added?
The whole notion, when he would say about something, government shouldn't even be in there. So about it, and it was interesting for me, and I think for a lot of citizens, he would say he would support gay marriage because it's none of government's business. He would support getting out of all these foreign wars because it's none of government's business. Then other places he would say it's none of government's business, and I would feel, no, I want government to be in charge. So it was very good for me and for my thinking to realize both the places where I agreed with him and the places where I didn't agree with him.
But you didn't agree with the fundamental reasoning behind it.
No, absolutely I did. I just, in some...
Oh, you did?
Like Ernest, it's like I was saying before, I think there's, in life, especially in something like our collective lives, there are a lot of different viewpoints. None of them have monopoly. You know, you talk about how you don't want the oppression of government. I don't want the oppression. To me, it's totalitarianism. When any one particular viewpoint is the only one that is accepted as valid in any situation, that scares me.
Okay, let me go ahead, you know, and kind of address, you know, Because I know this is probably a fresh, you know, I have Southern Poverty Law Center on four times. Potok's been on the show. Heidi Beirich, special plan. They come back. I don't know if they'll come back now. But, you know, they come. You know, why? Because we have these conversations. I ask, I go, you take this spotlight that you put on, you know, these bad guys or people that you don't. And you take the same criteria and you put the spotlight over on government.
Mm-hmm.
You put it on the law enforcement. You put it on the military. You put it on the administration. Mm-hmm. You put it on, you know, Bush, Obama. My position is, a friend of mine came on and he said, you know, if you have a preference of Obama over Romney or Romney over Obama, you're just a racist.
You have a racist if you have a preference. And what is that based? Do you agree with
because
that?
Because they're the same. It's just a difference in color. They go, what's the difference?
I just said something very similar to that, and he said that the corporate money that runs both parties, to me,
okay, now,
is now, better than
now
the
I want
other,
to address that.
Run.
You
okay.
You talked about that. Now, the Levolution, tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars went through that Levolution, people on their own spending their own money going on the street, on the overpasses, in their garages, and it wasn't tracked. And that's the point that we made in the level. No, it's not C4L, Campaign for Liberty. It's not the campaign. It's not. It's you doing whatever the heck you want with your money. First Amendment, right of association.
So that's why you like the Citizens United thing?
I'm saying it's irrelevant. They can do it.
Okay.
We have McCain Feingold, when I'm running against him in 04, had billboards all around the freeway that had people going, oh, Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so for John McCain. Not a damn thing anybody can do about it. Because it was their money. They could do what they want. I'm going, this is all just a game. It's pretend.
Okay.
So I'm going.
Can I tell you about the thing I'm doing in L.A. in November?
Please.
I'm doing something called Sister Giant, Women, Nonviolence, and Birthing a New American Politics. And it's in Los Angeles, November 10th and 11th, in the U.S. Congress, which I know you think is irrelevant. There are only 16.7% women. In the state legislatures, which I know you think are irrelevant, there are only 23.6% women. And so I believe that women having more of part of this dialogue would be very good for America. And somebody can go to sistergiant.com and find out more.
Sistergiant.com. We'll talk about women in politics when we come back. Because most of the freedom-oriented people we have worked with in legislatures have been women. Why?
Good for you.
Why?
Exactly. They ran for office. Hello.
Yeah, well, they were more libertarian.
Well, that's fine. You're still running for office.
Maybe it won't be
point.
Like you
Hello.
Are.
Hello.
All right. We'll talk about more with Marianne Williamson when we come back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Ernest Hancock and my guest, Marianne Williamson, advocating for truth and justice and what used to be the American way, I am sure. And, you know, a very American was mom. You know, mom. And a lot of, when we've had a lot of successes in dealing with, a lot of times, I tell you, Marianne, we don't go out in the front in the open because if they knew a libertarian had anything to do with anything, we vote no.
Mm-hmm.
So behind the scenes, we are, you know, advocating a whole bunch of stuff and even write the legislation and who introduces it. The women, but they are of a different mind than probably you would support.
I don't know if that's true. Well, all I want is more women in office. And by the way, you know, all your stuff, you know, anti-government, but then you've been talking on the show how you ran. That's all I'm saying. Libertarians run, too. Do you know who Ruth Bennett is, by the way?
I'm sure I do.
She's the Secretary of the Libertarian Party, and she's going to be speaking at the Sister Giant.
Yes, I do know Ruth.
Yeah,
I've run for national chair four times. They know who I am. Okay.
Okay.
So
well,
this is, and Ruth, the Libertarian Party and the Libertarian Movement is not really seen as the same thing by people in the Libertarian Movement.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
And
I didn't know that.
You know, it's, if you'll go, somebody says, yeah, you got Wayne Allen Root saying, you know, he wants his VP, a bar, drug warrior, doing, I mean, you know, they do not represent the Libertarian Movement. And it's just, so it's not necessarily the same thing, FYI. But I know these people, a lot of them are good people. I know Ruth, and I knew the name, like Ruth, oh yeah, okay, that one. So the criteria that we would have for good legislation, should there be any, a lot of times is just to do away with a lot of the abuses and the power and the so on.
And I would agree with that.
But that's based on a concept. It's based on a principle. It's based on, like, you'll talk about the marriage issue. And it's not that we're, you know, pro or anti anything. Marriage is a definition of whoever wants to define it, anybody other than government. Yeah. You know, the fact that you would have them involved in heterosexual marriage, but the principle is the same for everything.
Right. No, I understand. But to me, that principle is one of several that I am concerned with. But I would agree with you for that same reason about marriage equality. I believe with you for the same reason about against the drug war. I think
so. Why do you think women would be a better selection just based on gender? Is that,
is
that chauvinistic?
No, not at all. But I think that you and I might not agree on this one. Because we have a 23.1% child poverty rate in the United States. And among 35 developed nations, that's second only to Romania. That's so high. I think if more women were in office, we would deal with child poverty. We have the highest incarceration rate of any country in the world or any country in history, which, of course, is tied heavily to poverty. And once again, that there, too, you go back to the overinfluence of corporate money. Building prisons is the single largest urban industry in the United States. Also, when you talked about the prevalence of war, you were talking about drones, you were talking about all those things, the war machine. Even though what you said earlier in the program, you're right, there's some serious women hawks. The fact that a woman, you know, it just happens to be a woman doesn't mean necessarily that she has a more peaceful temperament. But I think in general, if there were more women, there would be a more considered response about a lot of these things.
Let me give you an idea what comes in my head when you say these things. When you go to child poverty and we have these problems, you know, what if, you know, there was a woman, you know what, freedom's the answer, what's the question? Mm-hmm. I see more freedom for the individual providing a better environment for less poverty. Heck, we have a war on poverty, Lyndon Johnson, and we got more poverty. I mean, you know, this is one thing, as I learned this as a young man, I'm 51 now, okay? I was born in 61, graduated high school 79. I'm right in the middle, you know, heck, it's the same people as, you know, Rumsfeld and Cheney and all these guys doing war with Iraq and Afghanistan and Iran and, and Soviet and Cold War. And I mean, heck, it's the same people just saying the same crap, doing the same stuff. And then they just keep growing. And I'm going, and then I have four children, two boys, two girls, just have my fourth grandkid. I'm in, man. I'm like, you know, what is going to be their future? So I look at this and I'm going, you know, I don't see that there is, it's not a gender thing, but, you know, what happens when a woman, we've worked with many of them, get up there and said, you know, it's the force, it's the gun to the head. It's the, you have to, and you gotta, and you always, instead of it being supported the individual to provide for their family, to be left alone to do it. Well, yeah, but there's between the, yeah, freedom's the answer, what's the question?
And you would be
like, no, you need to, you know, put the gun to some people's head to take some money from those that make a lot to be able to redistribute
So you're saying that you would support the Bush tax cuts for the very wealthy?
You're assuming I support any taxes.
I'm asking. No, yeah, you would be against all taxes, right?
Yeah. I'm all force. I mean, how did we fund America before the income tax?
Right.
I mean, it never even gets to that, the conversation.
Right. Did you see the movie Thrive?
Yes, I did. Foster Gamble's on. He writes for my magazine. Foster and I have become friends.
Yeah. I'm friends with him and with Kimberly. I think he's great. So, you know, to me,
Foster, and he's libertarian. You know, I asked him, I go,
of course he is. That's why I asked.
I go, why is it, how was it that you all of a sudden, after all this time of, you know, a progressive attitude, you know, looking out to do whatever, you know, how is it that finally you made the film? And he goes, my son introduced me to Austrian economics. That's what did it. He goes, I understood. You know, it's a principle. Freedom's the answer. What's the question? All that other stuff is just smoke.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, I see it as part of something to listen to. I think Thrive had a lot to say, and I don't agree with every little thing. That's okay. That's what freedom is. To me, that's what we say, no matter what the question, freedom is the answer. Freedom means that we don't always have to agree. To me, that's part of what American freedom is. We don't all have to toe the line.
Of course not, but it's not a gun to the head. When you start putting gun to my head, it's not freedom anymore.
I agree.
You know, it's like, you know, we're going to take your taxes from you because we're going to, what, I don't even care what your noble cause is.
Wait a minute. So you think that the richest, it's, you don't have a problem with the Bush tax cuts? You don't have a problem with the richest people in America?
I don't even look at it as a tax cut. All I'm looking at is that they're taking my money. You know, right. I mean, it's, I don't even go that far.
So who do you think should build the roads?
Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Yeah, well.
You know, my thing is that, you know, it's of course there were roads before they were taxing to build roads. I mean, you want to get thing from point A to point B. I mean, think about it. We used
there was
to
taxation mentioned in the U.S. Constitution.
You're assuming I'm a big fan of the Constitution. It's just another plantation they put us on. So this is,
Ernest, I'm coming to understand you.
Yeah, no, it's like, it's not, you know, the promise, it's all about the promise they made. They said, you know what, we're going to create a government to protect blah, blah, blah. Well, it didn't work out that way. You know, Patrick Henry is 4 hours as governor to the Virginia people. Don't ratify this thing. I see what they're doing. What happens when you align the, you know, the judicial, the legislative, and the executive against the rights of the individual? You find yourself in a free speech zone. That's what happens. You know. So I'm going, and constitutional rule, by the way. So when, let me ask you this one question. I want to get to before the end of the show. You said, you know, legitimate viewpoint this, legitimate viewpoint that, and I'm going, okay, what makes a legitimate viewpoint? How has it become legitimate as opposed to illegitimate?
This is really interesting that you say this. You're saying no matter what the answer, no matter what the problem, freedom is the answer. To me, any viewpoint is legitimate as long as it does not hurt other people.
All right, well, you just eliminated a whole bunch of government there.
I agree with you. I mean, this is America. We don't always have to agree. The idea of America, as I understand it, is that people should be able to do anything they want to do as long as it does not hurt someone else. And to me, government's role is to be a balancer between the protection of individual liberty and the concern for the common good. I think anybody should be able to do any crazy cockamamie thing they want unless it hurts someone, particularly children, and you're right. That's one of the reasons I want women to be in office, because you can do anything you want to do, in my view, unless it hurts a child. Stop right there. That's how I see it.
Well, you want to get rid of government then. Today is my, it's a third and third birthday of my oldest granddaughter and the second birthday of my grandson. You know, they had the same birthday. And I'm all in for this. In the first hour, talk about, you know, what's the point of all this? It's because exactly what you said. I don't want them hurt. Who's hurting them?
I know. We agree with that, and that's what matters.
All right. Well, I'm with you on, you know, at least the female perspective adds an enormous amount to the discourse. It's called my wife. You know, without my wife involved, you know, it's just a big giant hunk of the radar screen you just don't get. So I'm like, no, heck no. My wife has, you know, a big influence on me, and I a little bit on her. But I'm telling you, you know, I'm glad we had this conversation. Stay right there. We'll go ahead and talk a little bit more. But go ahead and give out the website real quick.
Thank you. Sistergiant.com.
Sistergiant.com has an event. We're going to, you know what? We're all going to talk our way to freedom and peace. Yep, that's what it takes.